Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
So we have some big news. Adrian Peterson has been reinstated. The NFL has a release that I have here from the league office on Adrian Peterson's reinstatement. Before I get to that, this segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I'm sure that General Manager Tim Hovick, if he doesn't know by now, I'll text him as soon as the show is over. Hey, AP's been reinstated. Tim and the Santan Ford folks and the Ford dealers are a big part of what goes on with the Arizona Cardinals, also with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and also Arizona State. Santan Ford, where I drive the 2015 Ford Fusion Hybrid. As many miles as I put on in a day, from traveling to the studios, to my kids' events, to things around the valley, doing a business, running a business, the hybrid makes a lot of sense for me. How about the vehicle that you're driving in? Do you walk out, look at it, and say, why am I still in this? Stop into Santan Ford or go to santanford.com. Do what I did and look for my wife. I decided she needed a new vehicle. I looked for my wife's for an Explorer and did so on santanford.com. And we went with a certified pre-owned. It made a lot of sense for us. The people at Santan Ford, they are the difference. Stop in and see for yourself. Just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. That is Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The full NFL release on Adrian Peterson's reinstatement. Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings was advised today that effective tomorrow, he is reinstated as an active NFL player, may participate in all scheduled activities with the Vikings. In a letter from Commissioner Goodell, Peterson was informed that he is expected to fulfill his remaining obligations to the authorities in Minnesota and Texas, as well as the additional commitments Peterson made during his April 7th meeting with the commissioner regarding an ongoing program of counseling and treatment as recommended by medical advisors. So the commissioner told him earlier this month, you still need help and you need to keep after it. Further, the news of Adrian Peterson's reinstatement, this from the commissioner's office. Beyond the requirement to comply with his court obligations and plan of counseling, Peterson was reminded that his continuing participation in the NFL depends on his avoidance of any further conduct that violates the personal conduct policy or other NFL policies. I'm just reading this for the first time. That is a very important part of this statement. If you're the Arizona Cardinals and he has one slip up, boom. It's important. Any further violation of the personal conduct policy by Peterson would result in additional discipline, which could include suspension without pay or banishment from the NFL. Screw up again, you could be out. Peterson was suspended without pay last November 18th for the remainder of the 2014 NFL season for violating the NFL personal conduct policy in an incident of abusive discipline with which he inflicted on his four-year-old son last May. Peterson pled no contest on November 4th in the state court of Montgomery County, Texas, to reckless assault of the child. So that's a statement from the NFL and a couple of key lines there. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, it's laid out there very straightforward. I don't want to say buyer beware, but you can't have any screw-ups on this. None. And so you're holding your breath every night. If you're Steve Keim, can you put your head on the pillow and turn your phone off and not have that phone ring with the news that something, anything at all, happened? It's right there. And that the commissioner said, you got to stick with this counseling, your ongoing program of counseling and treatment as recommended by medical advisors. What does that entail on a weekly basis during an NFL season? You know, it's pretty easy to talk about, can he run the football? And he's the number one rated fantasy running back, according to Fabiano. And boy, having AP here would be great. And think of all the business and all the jerseys we'd sell. And we'd finally have a running back and write down the list. And then I have to be the voice that says, yeah, I'm in favor of going after Adrian Peterson, which I am. But there is clearly a no screw up at all. And it just takes one. So that came down today. Pretty interesting there. The Diamondbacks tonight, as we have been talking about most of the morning, tonight is must-see TV. We will be watching Archie Bradley and Madison Bumgarner. The Suns finished up. We actually do have a little bit of sound. I misspoke earlier. Jordy actually did go out of his way to grab me something from the Suns, because there's not much to say after you finish 39-43 and you missed the playoffs 5 years in a row. Here's Brandon Knight, who they put a lot out to get Brandon Knight. So I do think it's worthy to hear what he had to say.
That's why I said starting, you know, summer. A lot of people say starting training camp. I like to say starting summer, because when you build relationships in the summertime with guys, working out with guys, going over different things, and I think it'll be, like I said, an important time for us to really build together and get prepared for next year.
Here is Ryan McDonough, the general manager. What did you learn from this last year?
A lot of the time you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. You know, last year we had the most improved team in the league and a lot of success that I think was surprising to people externally. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure, you know, how much a lot of guys learned from that. This year, I think, was more of a humbling experience, and, you know, I think we'll all learn from it, and I think we'll get better from it, and I think we'll bounce back and have another good year next season.
Okay.
A lot of the time.
And those are the things that you're going to say. You know, of course we're going to say. You're not going to say, we blow, and there's no reason for you to pay attention to us in the offseason. I'm not suggesting that's the way to attack this. But I do think the comment that Ryan McDonough made on the Morris twins, because this is all PR stuff. Most of what you hear nowadays, you just sit there and say, there's nothing here that's of interest. There's nothing here that you can't even read between the lines. There's no context. It's just, we're going to say something to throw it out there. And of course, we're not going to tell season ticket holders, boy, what a disaster you just went through. I don't know how in God's green earth we're going to convince you to re-up for next year based on the crapola you saw on the court, which it was. And off the court was a disappointment, beyond disappointments too. 10-18 after the Dragic trade. But the part that McDonough said yesterday on the Morris twins, and the quote was, I think they'll be back, and I think you'll see more humility from them. For the general manager to use that type of tone, that tells me that, you know what, these guys acted pompous or like punks or whatever term you want to use. There was the off-the-floor stuff that was swept under the rug and then came back to surface late in the year. There was the technicals. There was just bad basketball decisions. One day, Keith played great, and the next day, Keith disappeared. I think using nicknames on guys when they're just guys, you don't need to do. King James, okay, he's earned it. We have this thing with broadcasters. It kind of bugs me when we give everybody a nickname and they stink. I want people to know that it's Morris, you know? Need to see more humility from them. That coming from the general manager. The part of, I think they'll be back. I am hoping beyond hope. Ryan, please trade them. Please get them out of here. You're not going to win a title with those two players on your roster. He could be the Lakers, though, today. So the Lakers just went through the worst season in the history of the Lakers. I'd love to see some bandwagon. It'd be fun to bring in two bandwagon Laker fans right now and just sit them up here and say, so how are you guys going to sell this crap? A historically bad season, the worst ever for Laker fans. And what did the team do? Not Kobe Bryant. What did Swaggy P do? That was dumb all season long. We have nobody, so let's talk about Swaggy P and how cool his nickname is. Even though we stink, they, the Lakers, after they had their historic loss, went out clubbing last night. Of course they did. That's the absolute right thing to do. Never mind just putting your jersey in a locker and apologizing for the paycheck that they're giving you, and the decimal point moved way down the line, and you blew. There's not a chance Kobe Bryant's out doing that. Be really interesting to see what they do in the offseason, because I don't think they're that far away from being in the playoffs. They've got some assets, I think. There's going to be the, you want to be in LA and turn this thing around. The playoffs themselves, the interesting storylines, if Chicago gets bounced early, there's already talk that Tom Thibodeau wants out of being in Chicago, and he's shopping himself around. if the Bulls lose to the Bucks in the first round, that's he's going to get blown out. And I think he's a pretty good defensive coach. This whole narrative about how the Warriors are so much fun to watch, and they are. The Splash Brothers are fun to watch. But just logically, if all you're doing is shooting from downtown and it comes playoff time, you lose. You may not lose in the first round to New Orleans, although I'm very interested to see how Anthony Davis performs. It would be nice to have him on a stage. But, you know, Steph Curry, as much as I love him as a player, this will show me something about Steve Kerr and his coaching abilities. I want to see how Isaiah Thomas does in Boston. You know, he's had good success so far with the Celtics during the postseason against Cleveland. Most of the other series, I mean, the Spurs and Clippers is interesting. There's something there about Kawhi Leonard against Chris Paul where I think that the Spurs, again, will be able to eliminate the Clippers. And then there'll be this whole, can they win with the current cast of characters that they have? Oklahoma City's far and away the most interesting story in the entire playoffs, and they're not in. They're not in, but man, they've got Westbrook and Durant's contracts coming up. All right, we're going to switch gears. On the other side, we will have Todd Graham. Looking forward to visiting to Coach Graham on a whole bunch of things. Jaylen Strong gets drafted here in a couple of weeks. Where, I'm not going to ask team-wise, but about what part of the first round does the coach hear that Todd Graham's going to, that Jaylen Strong is going to be drafted in? Other draft guys, Hardison, Randall, Douglas. Tim White is a name you're going to need to know around ASU football. Ask Coach Graham about that. And the Texas A&M preparation. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Arizona State head football coach Todd Graham joins me for a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat, he is on his way to the Capitol, so our time is short. Why are you going to the Capitol today, Coach Graham?
Oh, I do it every year. We have a day where I go up and visit with all the representatives and obviously Sun Devils and just spend some time with them. So I always enjoy getting to do that.
Do you try to change policy there, Todd?
No. They probably wouldn't like. I probably don't need to be getting involved in that.
when you run across a wildcat in the Capitol, how do they respond to you? Are they cordial?
You know, surprisingly pretty cordial.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, it's a great time, here in the state. You look at, it's a transformational time at Arizona State. When you look at what's going on with our new stadium and the leadership from top down and what we've been able to accomplish in the last 3 years, I think people respect that. As well as they've done some nice things down there, so there's not a whole lot of love coming my way, but there's I think they respect what's been done as well as I respect them.
Sure, I mean I remember at the Notre Dame game, Senator McCain was in town, and I've Senator on this show quite a bit, and he's a huge fan of yours, and there was a nice moment down on the field between the two of you, but you're so football driven, you don't get in these circles very often, right?
No. I spend most of my time, obviously, I've got 110 players and we're working to help them, mature and get an education, get a degree, and obviously win championships on the field. And so I spend most of my time with them. If I'm not with them, then I'm spending time with my family. I've got, six kids, so that's a pretty busy schedule.
Yeah, you're running. You also, along with your 110 that you presently have, you have players that are moving on to the draft. So I want to start there in terms of football conversation. What are you hearing about Jaylen Strong from the NFL people that have come through the last few weeks in terms of his landing spot? I know he's been invited to Chicago, so obviously first round. I'm not asking about a city. I'm just curious, where in the first are you hearing for him?
From what I'm hearing from the scouts and talking to him, I figure somewhere, 18 to 30 right in there, is what I'm thinking. Who knows? But I do anticipate that he'll be a first rounder. Obviously, he had a tremendous combine and just his upside. You know, he's only he was only with us basically a year and a half or right. year and 10 months. I mean, he's with us two seasons, still had another season to go. So he's a young guy and a guy that's going to really, really get his upside is tremendous. So obviously his size, his speed, his explosiveness. I mean, and obviously he did a great job at the combine. Obviously everybody that I talked to says he's a first rounder.
Do you have teams that have called you that you would say, this team has shown an interest in him? Because fans ask me and I say, I don't know. And I've not talked to Jalen in a few weeks, but have you heard from any particular teams you'd be willing
there's
to
not, There's not very many teams in the league that have not called me about him. So it'd be an easier way to answer that. Most people that, and again, we've got four guys and all of their stock. One thing that's exciting is Jalen's stock has risen. Demaryius Randle is, I've talked to people, he could be a second or third rounder. Marcus Hardison moved up where he could be around the third round. And then Jamel Douglas, I project being, a third or fourth rounder from what I've gathered talking to people. So we could have, four guys in the top four rounds would be exciting for us. And all their stock has risen. And I think it has a lot to do with the young men that they are, and I think we've prepared them well.
No, that goes to your staff. I mean, your staff. In Demaryius's case, I'm hearing the same thing, that he's just going up like a rocket. And then in Marcus's case, he was in Minnesota and Detroit last week, and I talked to some people back there that said he came across very, very well in his interviews and along those lines. So I think it's a very much of a tip of the cap to your staff, too.
Yeah, our kids are going to do well. How we put them through here, and our guys are going to be well spoken. They're very used to talking to the media. They're mm-hmm. also, we are not, our schematics and what we do are not, simple. They come through here, they learn some football and learn how to, it's not the first time they've been up on the board and how we go about doing things. So I think it prepares them well. And so the interview process has always been very productive. And in Demaryius's case, the draft, one of the things that you're finding, and I think a lot of this has to do with, kind of how the no huddle and the spread has changed college football, where so many teams, you got to have guys that can cover because you got so many, the spread stuff. And I think it's hard to find a safety now. I think it's one of the areas and positions of critical need that the NFL has, and there's a shortage of them. So that's something that's really benefited him.
Talking with Todd Graham for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussman at Sports 360 AZ. Do you talk much to the Arizona Cardinals? I mean, you're in the same city. Do you interact with Steve Keim and Bruce Arians very much?
I don't. I have tremendous admiration for them. They came over to practice. We had their defensive coordinator come over to visit for practice and exchange ideas. Obviously, I told them I'd love to, we've opened our doors to them, and I'm looking forward to getting over and being able to watch some of their practices as well. I've got the job that they did last year with we lost our quarterback in week three and just won, and what they did last year was absolutely phenomenal. And so I think their defensive coordinator, we really like, I think we have some similarities in attacking and some of the things that they do. And so we've started developing that relationship. And it's one that I think is important. Obviously got Marion over there playing for them, and, I'm a big fan of theirs.
Yeah, I could imagine you and Bruce Arians together in a conversation. That would be pretty interesting to be a fly on the wall on that one. two football guys get after it.
I would tell you this. I think he's as good a coach as there is in the league. I mean, you look at him, and you got to put him up there, with the job that he's done. Obviously, Coach Belichick is as good as there is, ever been in that league. But, I think Bruce is a guy that is just absolutely – you look at what he did at Indianapolis and what he's done here. Phenomenal coach. And one of the things, too, I tell you, I'm impressed with is just their players. I got a chance to meet, Carson Palmer, at Easter, church service, and just so impressed, how he, Drew Stanton was there as well, and just how they presented themselves, and just class guys, character guys, and so I think there's a lot of similarities.
Can you talk about Tim White? Wide receiver comes in, College of the Canyons. He signed, right? I don't want to put you in a spot, But
well, let me check that. Hold on. Let me see.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure.
Sorry.
Here, and for the audience, that doesn't know, what I did there was, I didn't mean it in an unprofessional sort of way. That's, Todd can't talk about players that aren't signed. He's not even supposed to acknowledge them in the NCAA world of things. So, and you and I haven't talked about this before, but I'd heard that he'd signed the paperwork. So Tim White comes in, wide receiver. Tell me about Tim White from College of the Canyons, your newest Sun Devil.
Yeah, he's from Hart High School, you know, where Brady White's from, and Southern California, obviously, is a very, very important place for us. He's a dynamic player, a guy that he'll also triple jump for our track team, and just a tremendous player. I mean, explosive returner, inside slot receiver, a guy that provides, you know, another, you know, weapon to that already, you know, I think pretty talented arsenal of guys we've got with DJ and with Gump and, you know, with the receiving core we already have.
So he was at College of the Canyons, and with the injury that you had to Cam, you had to go find somebody. Who did you beat out to get him?
You know, obviously, I'm not sure. You know, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about all that. I know this, that he is a guy that we feel like we found a diamond in the rough there that really fits our system. He had, I think, multiple Pac-12 offers. I think Washington State was maybe one of them. I'm not sure the other teams that had offered or not offered. And he's also, comes from we really liked his character and what he was about. And he came down and spent time with our players for the weekend. And it was one of those things that we feel very blessed to be able to add a player with his type of explosiveness, especially in almost the 1st of May.
How much preparation for Texas A&M have you done, Todd, with the kids?
With our staff, you know, we have broke down everything. We took a day and a half with A&M and a day and a half with UCLA and USC. Just some things that we thought we needed just to introduce. Mm-hmm. We do the scouting reports for them and all that stuff. So just preliminary, mostly preliminary stuff. But they'll be a very big part of our summer plan. We'll be focusing on that first game and daily opponent film. Our guys are, they understand that that's obviously the first game is most important, and it's our focus and the opportunity, a great opportunity for us.
A couple other questions. I'll let you go. I know you're going to the Capitol here in a couple of minutes. Did you bring coaches from other programs in to visit with you? Did your staff go visit with other coaches? I get asked that a lot about the moving around during the college off season and picking other coaches' brains. Can you share any of that with the audience?
We always exchange ideas. Coach Malzahn at Auburn and our staff are always exchanging ideas. We exchanged ideas with the Cardinals, with the defense coordinator there. We exchange ideas every year with Chad Morris, who's now the head coach at SMU. And we've had numerous staffs. Coach DeRuiter from Fresno, his offensive staff came out, and we visited with them as well. And so, we'll have different staffs come and watch and visit with us. But mostly, it's guys that I've had a relationship with, Gus and Chad and Tim DeRuiter.
Tim DeRuiter,
guys like that.
Bobby Hurley, what'd you think?
Man, I was just so impressed. He obviously, knew about his competitive nature as a player and always had respect for him. And, when he came in and got an opportunity to meet him, I just really like his competitive nature. He's going to be a tremendous asset. I thought that was a great hire.
I've said publicly, and you can correct me on this, that there's been a lot on you, and you like to speak, but there needs to be other voices on the stadium project and just building in general on campus. It can't be all on you and Ray. There's got to be other voices, and I think that he can help you in that regard. Would you agree or disagree with me on that?
Well, yeah. The key for us is obviously It's an unbelievable time. I mean, the supporters that we've had, that we have, that stepped up, that they're tremendous, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I think Coach Hurley sees that too. And you know, there's the collegiate model is one that you know football is the one that makes the money, and you need boys basketball to do the same. And obviously, you can break even on some of the other ones. It helps, but. That's something that would really, you know, help us, because, you know, I think that he's going to bring a very similar, you know, I think he's going to play hard-nosed, tough attack and defense. And, I love his, you know, his confidence and his competitive nature. You don't know that about someone until you meet him. Mm-hmm. And I was just so impressed with him and really enjoy. I'm looking forward to, you know, developing a relationship with him, and I think it's going to be it's not going to be a lack of energy. I can tell you that because I really was impressed with that, and obviously, you know, we're all a team here, and we got a lot of our coaches that do a tremendous job of competing on a national level, and you know, our girls basketball team is one that I was just so impressed with that they made a fan out of me.
You were back there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I very seldom go to games and cheer, and those girls really inspired me the way they played defense. So I think Coach Hurley I think Ray and the people that were involved in bringing him here, the key is finding the right fit and the right person. It's not necessarily winning the press conference, you know.
Yeah.
People don't realize that, you know, I don't know that we won the press conference when I was hired. Nobody really even knew who I was, probably, but it was the best fit and the best situation that I could ever have, and I think it's worked out pretty good for the university, and I think that Coach Hurley will be one that is a similar fit, because there's a lot of similarities. I love his passion. I love his determination. In this situation here, this is a deal. You got to make it happen, and you got to figure out how to make it happen. It's not an ask and receive situation. So, you know, and where we're at right now as the program is, man, we're on the cutting edge to doing something great. And I think he can be a big key factor to that, and I think he'll do that.
I'll see you down the road. I'll see you in Pine Top, too, in June. So appreciate your time, as always.
All right. Always looking forward to going up to White Mountain.
You got it, Todd. Stay well. Thanks.
All right. See you, bud.
You got it. It's Todd Graham for a couple of minutes. Good to catch up with him on a whole bunch of things that have been on my head for a while there. Really interesting. Tim White, huh? He was a little fired up on that one. I think Strong, you know, 18 to, boy, he's not going to land here. I think he's going to do so well. I really do. It's good stuff there with Todd Graham. Jack McGruner is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Happy Jack with FoxSportsArizona.com and covers the Diamondbacks. And tonight with Archie on the mound, want to talk to him about that and where the team is. On the other side, though, my favorite story of the day, easily, heckling in tennis with college students in a Power 5 conference. One of the biggest conferences is allowing. We've got some pictures of it and all this stuff. And that story is just, I love that. We'll also get into the Suns and the NBA playoff matchups that are on my mind too as we continue on a busy Thursday. I'm Brad Sussmann. When I put this show together every day, Eric works on it, Jordan works on it. We don't really put it together, we just kind of throw it together. In all seriousness, I'm a reader. I there's things that I see that it's pretty easy to do the NFL stuff at this stage for me. You send a few texts, you read some people whose opinions you respect, you have on guests that you respect, and you put it all together, and then you see all the outside noise as it gets closer to the draft. You're like, I'm not paying attention to that. I'm not paying attention to that. We're not doing low-hanging fruit. We're not chasing clicks. We're not just going to throw everything out there. That's not what we do. But I read the Wall Street Journal every day, and the Wall Street Journal had a headline today, New College Tennis Rule is a Scream. And I thought I'd bring this to you guys today to let you know what's going on out there. New College Tennis Rule is a Scream. We have some pictures and some video to add to this. To boost tennis attendance, I mean, nobody goes to college tennis, right? Big 12 schools are now welcoming hecklers. So you're the college, take yourself back to college. And this is a Baylor match against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's number one, but they're on the road in Waco, Texas. Instead of quiet, please, tennis fans have permission to scream even during rallies as players serve. Last Friday night, you're seeing video from last Friday night between Oklahoma number one ranked against second ranked Baylor. And 20-year-old Nate Hinglecamp, a 20-year-old religion major, he wants to be a pastor, screaming, "Oh, we got him," shouting after a rattled Oklahoma player missed a serve. "He's got the yips, he's got the yips," yelled one of Hinglecamp's roommates, 21-year-old Chandler Wall, a Baylor junior. Two courts away, a group of Baylor students, every time a player for Oklahoma was getting ready to serve a freshman, they all went, as he served it. So they were making fun of his grunting. Evidently, he was a grunter out on the field. Now, Jordan, you're not too far removed from college, right? What are you, 2 years out?
Yeah, they're about two years
out. So you probably never went to a tennis match. This is only in the Big 12 where they've approved heckling tennis players. Now, if this were a Pac-12 deal, would you and the boys have gotten bombed and then gone to the tennis match and just acted like fools for the night?
It certainly would have helped the odds in terms of attendance.
Would have helped the odds. I mean, from a college standpoint, like ASU's student section is pretty rabid. Like the 942 crew that they make such a big deal out of with basketball, with a curtain of distraction, send those guys to a tennis match. What do you think we'd end up with? It would be ugly, right?
Yeah, it'd get ugly real quick.
Yeah, but it'd be fun. Could you imagine being the coach? Like the coach for Oklahoma, it's Andy Roddick's older brother, right?
Yeah, and he just looks peeved the entire time. He
peeved or pissed, whatever. Right, yeah. I mean, he just doesn't look happy.
Right.
So when Jacob Eyback, a 21-year-old Baylor junior, leaned over the rail and screamed and read out loud passages from How to Play Tennis in one of the matches. He was screaming lines on How to Play Tennis, which was an instructional book by Clarence Jones published in 1979. Now, this is funny. This is very funny to me. And these are tense times for college tennis, according to the Wall Street Journal, which is desperate to remain relevant. Now, a lot of these sports, you know, you go out to a soccer game and fans yell and there's a little bit of heckling by the students. But yeah, I mean, is it going to get to a point where it's college golf and you suck in your backswing? Isn't it the same thing here in tennis? This adds a whole new dimension. Now, of course, there are people that aren't too thrilled with this. The Intercollegiate Tennis Association, okay, about 600 programs have disappeared since the 1970s, according to the Intercollegiate Tennis Association. Arizona State, among the better-known Division I schools that no longer have men's tennis. So ASU lost their men's program. Wouldn't it be smart next time I talk to Ray, I'm going to bring this up. We were talking the other night over at the football stadium. He's got a hockey program that's coming on campus. Bring back men's tennis. To attract more fans, keep them in their seats, many conferences, including the Big 12, have shortened matches this season. Free pizza, T-shirts, contests, so on and so forth. Friday night's Baylor-Oklahoma match drew 1,479 fans. It's pretty good. Everyone is worried, said David Benjamin, the ITA's executive director. In the history of the NCAA, there's never been a period like this. It just takes one scolding before you're like, I don't want to come to this anymore, who has coached Baylor for 19 seasons. So they don't want to have reprimands or point penalties. The coaches have to encourage it. Please show up and yell loudly when the guy is serving. Could you imagine a U of A ASU tennis match? Light a fire around the court. It'd be fun. Love that story. Then I got to talk about the Suns because the season's too fresh and it's behind us. And when I thought about it and I saw some of the comments from yesterday, I didn't even bother asking for video or audio because it's just, to me, it's just, white noise, like blue dot, blue wall. Yeah, we're going to get better. We're really frustrated. The one quote that caught my eye was Ryan McDonough on the Morris twins. I'm not in favor of having either one of them back next year. Please get them out of here. His quote, though, was pretty telling. I think they'll be back, and I think you'll see more humility from them, end quote. Okay. We're not talking about basketball here, and the key word is think. I think they'll be back, and I think you'll see more humility from them. So when they get traded, I'm hoping it's, well, this opportunity presented itself. You know, it's really tough for us to lose them. Please get them out the door. We're really going to miss them. Please lock the door and change the code because we don't want them back here. So that was kind of interesting, that quote from Ryan McDonough. They went 39 and 43 this year. 39 wins, 43 losses. After they traded Gorin, they went 10 and 18. So the white flag was out. They were done. They were finished. Are they going to win 39 games next year? And I ask that, you're thinking, are you crazy? Why are you asking that question today? Because it will tell me, and it should tell you, if you have faith in this current cast of characters to make it happen down there, that you believe fully and totally, and I'm not talking about Jeff. Jeff can only coach the misfits that are handed to him or the players that are supposed to be leaders, and they're not. You know, as I sit here right now, if it's the same people, I don't see where 40 wins. I don't like having a team that wins 40 games and picking in the middle of the first round. That's how you become continually bad, and that's where they are. There are some playoff matches, though, that I think are pretty interesting. You know, the Golden State-New Orleans series, to me, I will watch some of that. I will definitely watch some of the Spurs series against the Clippers. That's a pretty darn good matchup. I'm not all that excited about Portland and Memphis. I care less about Atlanta and Brooklyn. The fact that Boston is in it against Cleveland, and if Isaiah Thomas does anything, I know how that's going to just nail people to the wall here in Phoenix. So I will watch some of that. But the star power's not there. Westbrook, Durant, Bosch, Kobe, Wade, DeMarcus Cousins. None of those guys are in the postseason. It's a pretty good team right there. And the other story this morning is that in Oklahoma City, they're evaluating Scott Brooks' coaching job. And this could impact the Suns, and here's how. So the Suns are in the toughest side of the NBA. They're not in the East. All the power has moved to the West. And Oklahoma City is one of those power players. If they're evaluating Scott Brooks, and if they fire Scott Brooks, who I think is a pretty good coach, Adrian Wojnarowski reported today that Billy Donovan from Florida would be the guy to come in and replace him. Do I see Billy Donovan as a guy that can sit down to Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook when their contracts expire and say, you got to be here, you got to play with me, you got to be with me? There's not a chance. It seems to me as I'm sitting here that we're starting to see, if we haven't already seen, the best of Oklahoma City behind us. So that's one team. The Spurs are getting older. Kawhi Leonard is their young gun. They have some fine young players, but they're not going to have Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan forever, although it feels like it. My point is if you really believe the Suns are not going to do much to get better, it's a real indictment that they've missed the postseason for 5 years, and there's not more of an uproar about it. It's just kind of like, oh, well, okay, it's the Suns. We love wearing our purple and gold, and there's the gorilla, and knock yourself out. It shouldn't be like that. We should expect more. Jack Magruder is going to join us on the other side. Always love talking with Happy Jack. FoxSportsArizona.com. Tonight, it is Archie Bradley night, which means it is viewing night for sure. Must-see TV on Fox Sports Arizona. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. I have to believe tonight that FoxSportsArizona.com is going to set, or Fox Sports Arizona is going to set a viewing record tonight for this season. Not all time. This is not Randy and Kurt, although I think it's getting close with Archie Bradley making his second start tonight. It's Madison Baumgartner, and it'll be on Fox Sports Arizona. Tonight, Jack Magruder joins us from FoxSportsArizona.com for a couple of minutes. Do you find the same anticipation on a day like today as, say, when Randy and Kurt pitched? Because I think you and I are very similar in that regard.
Yeah, I think close. You know, when Randy and Kurt were here, they had already proven what they could do. Archie's still a work in progress, but yeah, after his first start against Clayton Kershaw, you got to want to see what he's going to come up with next, especially against Bumgarner. I mean, it's like a trial by fire here of some of the best pitchers in baseball. He'll face Giovanni Gallardo, who's won 10 games multiple times at his next time out. We talked to him yesterday. The great thing about Archie, he's taking it all in stride. He told us, he said, you know, if you got to beat the best, you got to beat the best, and he's taking that approach. And with that stuff that he showed the other night. Yeah, I'd love to see what's going to come out tonight.
I can't imagine, Jack, another rookie in the history of the game facing the equivalent of Drysdale and Koufax in modern day times, or Randy and Kurt in back-to-back starts. I can't imagine that. Can you?
He's got a good focus, though. He's not really concentrating on those guys. He's concentrating on the hitters he has to face.
Sure.
The good news today is that the hitters he has to face haven't been very good for a long time. The Giants have lost six in a row. They haven't won a game since they were in Arizona. They've got some injuries. I think Posey and the crew are like 0-for-51. I was listening to their game last night coming home. They really are struggling, and this would be a good spot for Archie, I think. You know, throw strikes, make them beat him, and we'll see if that happens.
Jack Magruder with us, FoxSports.com, FoxSportsArizona.com. Were you surprised Tomas was recalled?
I was ready for that question. No, I'm surprised more people are surprised about that. I mean, I think he was their best option. Circumstances changed after spring training. You know, you could look, he was their last player cut after spring training. As you look back on it, they sent a catcher down. They released Cody Ross. Tomas was sent down. Once they lost the Gerald Laird injury, they needed a bat, and he's the guy to go to. I mean, his bat is his calling card, and if you need another bat, you go to the best bat on the team. I wasn't surprised at all. Now, where they play him will be interesting to find, but just the fact that he's on the roster, he's probably one of the best hitters. He probably should be on the roster.
Whose time does he take away from? I mean, what's the feeling you get internally?
Right. Well, they said all day yesterday he's going to be a pinch hitter. That's where he plays. I think he may play. What I think may happen is he may play some left field against left-handed pitchers. So you got Trumbo, Pollock, and Tomas, three right-handed bats against left-handed starters. I don't know that starts tonight against Bumgarner. It may. I don't know. I haven't seen the lineup yet, but I don't know that he plays any third base. When I talked to Dave after they sent him down that Saturday night, he said his future appears to be in the outfield. Again, they dropped third base on us yesterday, but he's got, Jake Lamb's one of his best bats right now. If he wants to bat a right-hander at third base, he can do it like he did with Aaron Hill. So I think maybe left field, but he's always going to have to earn that time because Inciarte has done a great job already.
Right.
I think right now it's hit and miss, and they just see what develops.
I could see putting him in a game like the first game in San Diego. First game in San Diego, they were down 7-0, right? And they came back.
Yeah.
So I could see them in a late situation in a game that's out of control because there's going to be those games. Let's put him in there for a couple of innings. I don't know that to be the case. But I think that's reasonable. I could see them putting him over at first base. Couldn't you for a few innings to give Goldschmidt a spell if it's a game that's out of control, or if there is that day off that you need?
Yeah, I think Chip has done a nice job to me of manipulating his roster because
he has.
He likes the players he has in the middle infield. He likes the outfield. It's hard to get them all playing time. I think that's an alternative. They haven't been in too many blowout games yet. I don't know that I'd play him at first. I mean, I just don't know if I'd play him anywhere but the outfield right now, to tell you the truth.
Sure.
I think that's where he fits best, and that's where they might want to take a look at him. He's here for his bat, though, Brad. There's no question about
that. But 70
that.
Jack, 70 million for a bat?
It's got to be.
They've got to find a place for him. Well, here's the thing on this, and this leads into the whole pitching deal. People here are so worked up about the bullpen's going to be burned out and the starting pitching stinks. Well, no kidding. But last time I checked, Tony La Russa is a Hall of Famer, and Dave Stewart knows what he's doing in terms of working with Tony. Those two had a good working relationship, player to coach. I can't imagine it's a bad relationship from GM in the new role with Tony. I think it's going to work out. So that said, on April 16th, they're going to have to make some moves at some point because the starting pitching is what we expected it to be, borrowing a line from Denny Green. It's not that good.
Yeah, it's quite a small sample size. And obviously you can't argue with the fact they haven't pitched well so far. Josh hasn't pitched well.
No.
Can we expect him to pitch better? Well, we've seen it before. I don't understand why he couldn't do that again. Jeremy Hellickson improved in his start yesterday or 2 days ago. Chase Anderson had a nice start last night. You know, he was a little bit in and out of trouble, but he only gave up two runs in six innings.
Hellickson wasn't good early.
I understand your big point that they need to get better pitching.
Yeah.
Where it comes from, I guess we'll see. You know, Vidal Nuno pitched a really nice game in Reno yesterday. Maybe they go to him. They said all along that they built their staff with people who have options, and they won't be afraid to use those options. So, you know, how quickly they pull the trigger, how quickly they give these guys a chance is the question right now.
Well, and okay, so that brings me to Daniel Hudson, because I think in all of this conversation, Daniel Hudson at some point is going to become a major storyline one way or the other. And that is, do they stretch him out and he can be somebody in the rotation at some point? The other side, the other night, he came into garbage time and pitched pretty well in the ninth inning. And could he be a future closer? Pedro's intimated that to me when I've had Pedro on, that he's heard that that's a direction they could take with Hudson down the road. What do you make out of Daniel Hudson, not just today, but where he fits in with the organization?
Well, I think you're looking at him, as we know, as a long-term project. The one thing they don't want to do is get carried away with some early outings, think his elbow is back to where it should be, and work him harder than they want to. They're looking at him. You know, he won 16 games in 2011? He's a quality major league starter when healthy. That's the caveat, when healthy. Right now, they pitch him an inning at a time. They check his arm every day. How does he recover? How does he feel? It would be easier, I think, on his body to know when he's going to pitch every fifth day. But if he's only going to give you 60, 70 pitches, you just can't do that. That factors your bullpen more than anything else. I don't think they try to build him up this year. I think they let him be good in that role, and that's an important role out in the bullpen. And one thing we've kind of forgotten about, Patrick Corbin should be back late May, early June perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a nice addition to the rotation right there.
Yeah.
So you put him in that mix, you're in pretty good shape. With Hudson in the bullpen, you've got Hudson, you've got Reed, you've got Oliver Perez, you've got Evan Marshall, you've got Brad Ziegler. That's a pretty good bullpen.
It's a pretty good bullpen.
I don't know that you want to mess with that right now.
Sure, it's a pretty good bullpen, but if you decide at some point, I've got to trade some people to bring in frontline number one, number two, number three starting pitching, because I don't think there's any of those guys. Nice guys, all very likable. Not a one, a two, maybe a three out of any of them right now. So if Hudson, you're discounting him as a closer potentially down the road then? Down the road,
sure, that could be it, sir. John Smoltz did that, right? Coming off
Eckersley.
Of Tommy John.
Eckersley, you know? I mean, there's...
Eckersley changed roles. He didn't have the injury, but he changed roles.
Roles.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, and
I mean, it could happen.
That's
Addison Reed has pitched pretty well right now so far.
But if
you know, it's a grand experiment.
we
have to see what happens before we decide who's slotting where. And you know, it's just I think it's up in the air. I think the one overriding factor on Hudson is don't push him.
No,
don't
I agree with that.
Get him hurt again.
No, I agree with that.
So they're have extreme caution with him at this point.
Okay,
maybe he will morph into that. Who knows?
Before I let you go. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Are you having fun with this team? Because a year ago, nobody could be having any fun covering a team that wasn't very good. I mean, I know your job is there to report the facts on that stuff, but is this a likable team? And the fact that they're having some success makes it a better experience for you. Just curious.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's. I like the direction. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I think they've got the right guy in Chip Hale, and he's got that positive, full force energy every day that maybe what was lacking has been lacking the last couple of years. And I think that's propelling the team to do the best they can. Whether how good that'll be, we'll see. But yeah, it is kind of fun being around this group. It was good being around them last year. They just got crippled by injuries last year and then things fell apart. But sure.
All right. I'll let you go off that then. Thanks for the time, as always.
Well, glad to be with you, Brad.
Yeah,
take
no,
care.
I know. It's good to have you on. I like Jack a lot. So. See you. Jack McGruder. I don't like him that much, but I mean, I like him a lot. You know, there's certain guys I love and having him on the show, and I am more than that, just so we're clear here. So that was a fun hour. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. I'm going to bail out on this segment and then reset on the other side. We'll get you caught up everything on a Thursday. We do our thing every day for a couple of hours. It's no scripts. We don't sit here and say, let's, you know, do this and do that because it shows well. It's none of that. And tomorrow, Peter King's going to be with us. Our weekly conversation with Peter King, Monday Morning Quarterback, except we'll do him on a Friday. And also Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. We do him every week, too. Because, guys, you know what's going on in sports. At some point, you have to have a life. We have Bill on to talk about the movies. It's on Fridays. Stay with us.